Welcome to the Raise with Jesus podcast, 3 minutes every day with Life, where Jesus meets yours. We've got your daily Bible reading for August 9th, 2019, looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul writes, "It is really not necessary for me to write to you about service to the saints, because I know your eagerness. I am boasting about it on your behalf to the Macedonians, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year. Your zeal has stirred up many of them, but I am sending the brothers, so that our boasting on your behalf will not prove to be empty in this case, but that you will be prepared, just as I have been saying. Otherwise, if any Macedonians come along with me and find you unprepared, we, to say nothing of you, would be ashamed of this confidence. That is why I considered it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and to arrange ahead of time the expression of praise that you previously promised, so that it may be ready as an expression of praise, not of grudging selfishness. This is what I mean. The one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. The one who sows generously will also reap generously. Each one should give as he has determined in his heart, not reluctantly or under pressure, for God loves a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace overflow to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will overflow in every good work. As it is written, He scattered, He gave to the poor, His righteousness remains forever. And he who provides seed to the sower and bread for food will provide and multiply your seed for sowing, and will increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way, so that you may be generous in every way, which produces thanksgiving to God through us. To be sure, the administration of this service is not only making up for what is lacking among the saints, but it is also overflowing in many prayers of thanksgiving to God. By proving yourselves in this service, many people are glorifying God as they see the obedience shown in your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity shown in your sharing with them and all people. At the same time as they pray for you, they also express their longing for you because of the extraordinary measure of God's grace given to you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This is the word of our God." As Paul continues the administration and the details in managing and collecting this this famine gift for the church back in Jerusalem and Judea, he goes into some greater detail, and he had sent Titus down to Corinth to get everything organized and make sure everything was ready, and he anticipates that there may have been a little bit of a little bit of thought that, you know, maybe we don't need Paul watching over every single little thing. He can't even keep his own travel plans together. Why is he being so concerned about making sure that this offering is taken care of? And he tries to dispel any wrong notions or motives in the opening verses here when he says, well, we've had this confidence in you, and it's a joyful thing when a pastor can be confident in his people. That's what he says here in verse 2. I am boasting about it on your behalf to the Macedonians, way up north of Greece there, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year. That's southern part of Greece. And so Paul's been boasting, and he's confident, and he's like, well, you know, just to make sure that everything is well organized, and he hadn't been back to visit for a while, he sends Titus to make sure that everything is ready to go, so that his confidence isn't misplaced, and so any other administrators, you know, people who are helping in the collection and management of this gift, they don't see that all of a sudden the Corinthians are very disorganized and not what Paul had said. And then Paul makes a quick transition. This chapter is full of a couple of quick little transitions, where beginning especially in verse 6, he talks about the spiritual aspect of giving to the Lord. And the spiritual aspect, it's not really an investment in the idea that you'll receive, you know, a 3 or 5 or 10% return on on the money that you invest, and that God is going to repay you in some way like that. But it is an investment in the sense that the harvest of righteousness he talks about, and the blessing that God promises to bless our gift with, is something that is unknown apart from giving and participating in the ministry of the living God. Consider verses 6 and 7. This is what I mean. The one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. The one who sows generously will also reap generously. Each one should give as he has determined in his heart, not reluctantly or under pressure, for God loves a cheerful giver. And part of that, no doubt, is the attitude. The attitude that says, my Lord will continue to take care of me, just as he promised. My Lord knows all that I need and will continue to provide for me. I mean, you know, consider the first article. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. What does this mean? I believe that God still richly and daily provides clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, land and cattle, spouse, children, and all that I own, and all that I need to keep my body in life. God does that. Just as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. God does that. And here Paul says, and we have been given the privilege of sharing in this gospel ministry together, in sowing, in sharing what God has given to us and returning some of it to him. Verse 7 really hopefully alleviates a few consciences. Each one should give as he has determined in his heart, not reluctantly or under pressure, for God loves a cheerful giver. That one of the basic premises of Christian giving is that it's something that each person decides on his own or her own, that it's not a mandate, that the New Testament believers, we Christians living in New Testament times, have not been given a requirement of returning to God one-tenth of all that we own. That was an Old Testament thing. And we Christians have been set free from that requirement to tithe as a law-based obligation. But what Paul says here is that for the Christian who knows all that our God has done for us, that might be a good starting point. But it's up to you to decide on your own what you would like to give, and make it a cheerful thing, whether it's a, you know, no matter what the percentage is, God wants your heart first. And anything else that is given to him after that is something that God says, well, I want to see your heart first. I want to see the joy in expressing this relationship between a Heavenly Father and his church. The joy that says, I know and I have confidence that my God will continue to take care of me, even as I return to him a portion of what he has given to me. That's one of the major premises of this chapter. Major principles, I suppose. Although I don't like using the term principles, but I guess it fits. You know, when people talk about Christian principles, they think that somehow the Christian faith can be boiled down to a set of premises to accept or reject. And if I just remember these principles, then we're good to go. But when we talk about stewardship, especially as Paul talks about in these chapters, the last chapter and the next chapter as well, it is good to remember some of the basic premises of proper Christian stewardship, one of which is that God wants our hearts first, and that any offering that we give to him is a joyful thing. And so Paul wraps up this chapter, beginning in verse 8, with a reminder that as we return a gift to God, as we bring an offering to the Lord, God is the one who multiplies to us a harvest of righteousness and the sort of blessing that far surpasses what we bring to him. Remembering that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. You know, God doesn't need our money. He owns it all anyway. He owns everything anyway. But he has chosen to have us participate with him and with one another in bringing this gospel of Jesus Christ to somebody else, to somebody more. And he promises to continue to bless that proper godly attitude with what he calls a harvest of righteousness. In verse 10, and 11, and he who provides seed to the sower and bread for food will provide and multiply your seed for sowing and will increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way, so that you may be generous in every way, which produces thanksgiving to God through us. So as you go about your day, take a moment. Just take a moment and consider all the blessings that God has given to you, including and beginning with his own son dying and rising for you, providing a congregation and a pastor to minister for you and to you, providing Christians to encourage you, providing opportunity to join in this ministry together, providing all that we need for body and life, all these things together. And just take a moment to say, thank you, God, and help me be thankful in every way. You can find us Sunday morning, 9 a.m. at 2250 South Hollins Vineyard Road in Maumee. You could also tune in at YouTube. Just search for Resurrection Maumee. God bless your day.